Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's press call. We've got Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack on the line from Pennsylvania, and he'll be making an announcement on efforts to spur job creation through regional biofuel production and research. Reporters, if you want to ask a question of Secretary Vilsack, please let us know by pressing star one on your touchtone pad. Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning, Susan, and good morning to everyone who joins us this morning. Over the last couple of years, we at USDA have made a concerted effort to try to create a support structure and research program focused on biofuels and determining alternative feedstocks to corn-based ethanol, and also drawing on the expertise and the most affordable and most available feedstock in all regions of the country. Over the course of the last year or so, we've announced a grant to the University of Washington of $40 million for woody energy crops. Washington State received a $40 million grant for looking at bioenergy development centers, feedstock development and conversion of timber. The Iowa State University, $25 million for a regional biomass production system for advanced transportation fuels. LSU, $2 million for flexible biorefinery infrastructure using existing biorefinery infrastructure and converting it. And the University of Tennessee, a $15 million grant for sustainable feedstock focusing on easily convertible sugars. Today we announce the last of six such announcements with Penn State University leading a coalition of universities from New York, Delaware, Ohio, New Jersey, West Virginia, and Vermont, together with a number of private sector partners. A $10 million five-year research program will be announced today, focused on identifying sustainable, cost-effective feedstocks for supplying a biomass opportunity here in the northeastern part of the United States. So this will basically complete our effort to identify opportunities in virtually every corner of the country. As part of our overall effort to promote biofuel, both in terms of automobiles and truck transportation, but as well aviation and marine fuel. This goes in line with the work that we've been doing in terms of helping biorefineries. We've had nine project announcements on the construction of new biorefineries using these feedstocks. It goes in line with our BCAP program to help producers produce these alternative feedstocks. It goes in line with our regional virtual research efforts through our Agricultural Research Service in all parts of the country in a coordinated and comprehensive effort. So we're excited about this announcement. We know that Penn State will do a great job in heading up this research project, and we look forward to its results.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Reporters, if you'd like to ask a question of Secretary Vilsack, please let us know by pressing star one on your touchtone pad. Let's go to Jerry Hagstrom with the Hagstrom Report. Good morning, Jerry.
Terry, there's a poll out today from the Center for Rural Strategies showing Governor Romney surging in rural areas in the battleground states. The poll shows that Governor Romney has had a dramatic jump since the last debate. Do you have any comment on the poll and also about what President Obama needs to do in the debate this evening?
Jerry, I don't have any comment on the poll because I've not seen it. But I think that the president is prepared tonight to provide a contrasting vision for the future of this country, building on what he has already done in the last 4 years. That vision basically involves getting America back in the business of innovation, manufacturing, and making and creating things. It's one of the reasons why this announcement is consistent with that vision. We're getting into the clean energy arena, innovating and creating new opportunities. That's one of the reasons why the president was so insistent on saving the auto industry. One of the reasons why he's been insistent on middle-class tax cuts, continued investment in research and development, and education improvements. He'll talk, I suspect, tonight about that vision of how we, over the next 4 years, need to invest in infrastructure, taking the savings from ending two wars and putting a portion of that back into creating the infrastructure that will allow us to get goods and services to market more quickly and more competitively. He'll continue to focus on the importance of exports. And he'll contrast that to Governor Romney's vision of sort of a top-down view, providing tax cuts for the wealthy and deregulating major industries, something we tried during the Bush administration, which led to 800,000 jobs being lost and a month, and stock market and housing markets that were in trouble. So I think it's going to be an interesting debate. Obviously, Governor Romney is well skilled at debate, as he indicated in the first debate. So it should be a good opportunity for the country to see a good contrast.
Next on the line, we have John Hurdle with Delaware First Media. John.
Hi. Could you give us some details on how this initiative is going to affect Delaware specifically, please?
Well, the University of Delaware is a university partner, so Penn State will basically coordinate the research dollars, and those will be parceled out. And these universities in the various states will be working with a number of private sector companies to focus on what biomass, what feedstock actually works in the Northeast. There are a number of companies that are involved here, Ernst Conservation Seed, Case New Holland, Praxair, Green Energy, AA Willow, just to name a few. And all of these companies are identifying feedstocks or processes by which these feedstocks can be grown and harvested. So it's a coordinated effort. And it's very similar to what we've done in other parts of the country, the Southeast and the Deep South, in the Midwest and in the Northwest, along with grants that we've made to companies in the Southwest. So it really gives a total national flavor to this effort.
Reporters, if you'd like to ask a question of Secretary Vilsack, please let us know by pressing star 1. I'd like to ask you, Mr. Secretary, why is USDA so aggressively pursuing these type of investments in renewable energy?
Well, several reasons. One, because we have a renewable fuel standard that challenges us to begin focusing on advanced biofuels in order to meet the renewable fuel standard goal of 36 billion gallons of biofuel. Secondly, this is a job creator. The industry today helps to support nearly 400,000 jobs directly or indirectly. When we reach the 36 billion gallon threshold, we will get to nearly a million jobs in this industry. It provides additional income opportunities for landowners and farmers. If we can take non-productive land and we can use it to produce these new feedstocks, then it obviously creates a new income source for farmers. And it gives consumers choice as we expand the opportunity for biofuel. We know from past studies that biofuel availability reduces the cost overall of transportation fuel, and certainly to the extent that this will allow us to develop an aviation and marine fuel opportunity, it's something the Defense Department is also very interested in. So there are a multitude of reasons for doing this, and not the least of which is reducing our reliance on foreign oil, which is why we've gone from importing 62% in the last 3 years to now about 45%.
Thank you. Once again, reporters, if you'd like to ask a question of Secretary Vilsack, let us know by pressing star 1. Our next caller on the line is from Gannett. It's Deirdre Schefgreen. Deirdre.
Hi. Could you tell us specifically who the Ohio partner is and also whether there are any biofuels in particular that already look promising in the Northeast?
I believe it's the University of Ohio State University, but I'll have to double check. Basically, that university is also, I think, involved in several of the other projects. I think I may be involved with the Iowa State project as well. What was the second part of your question?
I think that we've lost Deirdre.
Okay.
Reporters, once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please let us know by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone pad.
Let's back up for just a second, Susan. I mean, I think it's important to focus on the fact that this particular project is going to look at miscanthus and switchgrass and willow, and it's going to do it in a very innovative and creative way. There are obviously a lot of mining that's taken place in a number of these states, and some of those mines have been strip mines, and it's possible that we could grow these biomass products on strip mines to sort of restore the strip mine land or on marginal floodplain lands. And so this is an opportunity not only to grow and expand a feedstock, but also to address a concern that many folks have about strip mines and what happens after the area has been mined. So this is sort of an innovative and creative way So I suspect that there are mines in Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania that will be particularly aligned with this initiative.
Our next caller on the line from Greenwire is Amanda Paterka. Amanda?
Hi, thank you. You actually just answered the question I had, but I do kind of have a follow-up. Has there been any previous research concerning the Northeast, and or can you just describe a little bit what that research has been up to now?
Well, I don't know that there's been a lot of research about the Northeast. In the past, obviously, this has been an industry that's been pretty much focused in the Midwest. And the goal here over the last several years is to make sure that we don't fail to recognize and take full opportunities of biomass that can be produced efficiently and effectively in other parts of the country. I suspect that there has been some effort in the Northeast that's focused on timber, not so much biofuel, but probably wood to energy efforts in the New England states. But this, I think, is a concerted, comprehensive effort, and I think again it is unique because it deals with this issue of strip mines and marginal floodplain lands, which I think is going to be very interesting and very helpful in terms of determining how we can, in a sense, kill two birds with one stone.
Thank you.
Mr. Secretary, if you would, could you expand a little more on your trip in Pennsylvania?
Well, actually, I started today in Delaware at a Farm Service Agency office. Then I'm headed to Philadelphia to talk to an export group, the Northeast Food Export USA group, that is a conglomeration of companies that basically export food products outside the United States. And we're going to talk a little bit about our efforts at USDA to establish a strategic framework for exports, the free trade agreements, which we think will expand opportunities, the barriers that we're working to remove that oftentimes create problems for companies to trade, our efforts to assist small business to engage in export opportunities, and the challenges that we currently have because many of the trade promotion programs that we have require passage of what I refer to as the Food, Farm, and Jobs Bill, which obviously has not been done. So we're basically in a holding pattern right now, and if it extends for a period of time and we don't have action by Congress, we could end up ceding market share to our competitors, which will be very difficult to get back.
Anything you want to add?
That's it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Secretary, and thank you everyone who was on the call, and that completes our press call this morning.